The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Along with Michael Coleman, I'm Tony Curry. It's time for another edition of Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission on your mind. He is, of course, the executive director of the Jemmy Hill Mission. This show is so much bigger than that, though. We're basically building a business from the ground up here, Michael. You realize that, don't you?
Yeah, and what I keep finding out is that so many people are entering into this space or are connected to the nonprofit world and know they have questions or have just don't know how to navigate it if they're a leader in that. And so really what we're trying to do is talk about some really complex and important issues, but really kind of break them down to where, you know, they're just easily navigable for just anyone.
And you can go back on our platform there, Spotify, coming up in the next couple of weeks. You can go back all the way and start at the beginning when we had shows about the vision quest and the vision casting. And then, of course, we got into the mission statement part of it. And today we're going to be getting into, I would assume, is the biggest part of any non-for-profit or any business, period. And that is the purpose, because without a purpose, you really don't have a business. But I want to skip a little ahead. I don't want to throw you off here. But the biggest, best storyteller ever, who is it?
In my opinion, yeah. It is, if you go to the Bible and you listen to the parables of Jesus, he was an absolute master at taking people from the known, what they knew, what they could relate to the unknown, from a physical perspective to a spiritual perspective. And he did it in such a simple, concise way. And it's really just so many lessons we can learn from that example in communicating about our passions and about the work that we're doing. Whether you have a faith-based nonprofit or not, you got to be a storyteller.
Oh, I love that. I love that. The reason why the Bible is the biggest selling book in the world is not because we have a million churches. It's because it's great stories. There's so many wonderful stories in the Old Testament, the New Testament. So I wanted to jump ahead a little bit, because we all have people in our lives that are great storytellers. We love storytellers, even if it's someone we don't know. If you can tell a great story, people will listen. What makes a great storyteller? I know that's a loaded question. It's a broad question. But what really, to you, makes a great storyteller?
Well, just to me, you know, I do. I kind of envision like grandfather around the fire.
Yes.
Kids sitting around. Sitting around his feet and asking questions, but it's the ability to take those who are listening to you and take them into a different reality. And so you're taking them, everybody's got stress and pressure and business concerns, money concerns and all that, but just for that moment, can you lift them away from all of that and have them immersed in the picture and in the, of what you're trying to set for them, and to not only see it, but to connect to it emotionally. And this is, as we're going to talk about, this is so essential when you're developing followers to your nonprofit. You've got to have people who connect emotionally, because once they're connected emotionally, then you have things like volunteer follows, you have financial support follows. All of that follows someone whose heart has been captured by what you're doing. And it's almost impossible to be able to capture somebody's heart if you can't make them feel and experience what you're doing through storytelling.
Yeah, and I think that is the most important part of what we want to talk about today. And we'll get into the purpose part of it right now. But we all want to be, everyone wants to be great storytellers. And most people that are great storytellers don't even know they're great storytellers. And they see people leaning in. They'll go, wow, what a great story. And it doesn't have to be necessarily long. It doesn't have to be short. It doesn't have to be in the middle. And it could be about anything. But the thing you just said, known into unknown, unknown into known. When you can have common ground with your listening audience, and I've seen you speak in front of hundreds of, if not thousands of people, I've certainly done it as well. But when you can have a common ground with them, of something they know, and then somehow transfer that into something that they're, that they don't know anything about and start believing it, that's when you have something really, really special. And that's when your purpose really becomes purposeful.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, but it's also, this idea is challenging to a lot of people because there's risk involved. When you begin to try to tell your story, even if you can communicate your story, people who are involved, it gives them also an ability to see cracks or holes or gaps or challenges. And so when you are able to bring people in, you better be ready for that. And so that's why going back to the vision statement, the mission statement, and now what we're going to kind of kick off is this purpose is so important. So let me kind of talk about that just for a second.
Sure.
Everybody hears about vision statement. And we've kind of talked about this. That's, hey, this is in an ideal world. This is where we want to go. This is the impact we want to make. Here's how we're going to do that. That's where the mission statement comes in. Here's the what we're doing. Here's the how we're doing it. This is who we're impacting. But one thing that neither one of those really get to is the why. And so you don't see a lot written about this, but I think it's so important to have a purpose statement. And because it's the why you personally are doing this that is so compelling. Lots of people get into nonprofit work or start nonprofits or lead nonprofits. They have a story. It is something that matters to them. So I lead addiction recovery. We deal with people in poverty and homelessness and all those kind of things. I've had people. I grew up with an alcoholic stepfather. I saw the damage it does to a family. I've seen what people who get stuck in poverty and can't climb out, don't have those resources, what it does to not only that person, but generationally the effect it has. And we've seen how devastating generational poverty is. And so when I talk about it, I see faces, I see a picture, I see my past. I see the hurt. You know, I feel that. And so I'm sitting here and it's not just, oh, we help people come out of addiction or we help people put their life back together. I've got to be able to start with something that everybody in that room can easily take hold of. Mm-hmm. So this is why Jesus was such a master storyteller. So let me give you a quick example. Everybody in that day understood shepherding. Everybody in that day understood fishing. It wasn't a hobby to fish. You had to fish to survive, and you would, because you would sell fish, you would eat fish, it was feeding families. And so Jesus would take something like that, like he told them to cast their net down. They cast their net down, and you know, they said, hey, we've been fishing all day. We haven't caught anything. He's like, cast your net down. So they cast your net down. Boom, comes up so full of fish that the net begins to burst. That's not his point. His point is, of course, he's providing, but that's not his point. His point is he then takes that same entity, that net, and he says, come with me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, that's very concise, and it's very clear that Jesus was taking them from the physical act of fishing for survival and for, you know, for your business. And he says, I've got a higher purpose. And so now, instead of catching fish, you're going to catch men. Now, it's something that any even the most uneducated fisherman at that time could understand. Hey, this is a spiritual calling. It's a much higher calling. This is something not of this world, the everyday mundane things. But it paints a picture in your head. And this is what he was so effective at. And so when I'm talking to an audience, I've got to start with something that's common to that audience. And to be honest with you, that may be different. I may be talking to a group of people trapped in poverty versus a group of potential donors who may have never known anything but upper middle class and wealth. And so, again, you have to start there. But the point is you're trying to lead them and place them so that they understand the challenge of addiction. They understand the challenges of poverty. They feel the pain when you're trapped and you can't escape that. And then you show you're lifting them out and they're walking with you through that. And they're saying, oh, I see it. Oh, yes. What freedom that is. What blessing that is. What life-changing things are taking place. And so when they see it, when they feel it, they're like, yeah, this is something I want to be a part of. So when I talk to them about purpose, and I get asked this just often, they don't ask me as much about my vision or mission statement. They say, why do you do what you do? Mm-hmm. And I better have a great answer for them that can be told in a short little story format or communicates to them that emotion in a way that is authentic, that's genuine, and gets them on board to at least listen further to what I'm involved with.
And teach a man to fish. It's Mission Minded here, keeping your mission on your mind on your mission. He's Michael Coleman, Executive Director of the Jimmy Hale Mission. We're talking about how to start non-for-profits, why you should, why you shouldn't, and what it takes to actually have a successful one. And we're going to go through the money aspect of this, the boards, and everything that comes along with it. We'll get into those in future shows. So let's talk about, we talked about our vision, we talked about our mission statement, our purpose. Now, I'd never heard of a purpose statement. And how is a purpose statement different than a mission and a vision? Because they all have to come together. It's almost like the Holy Trinity. It's almost like they all have to work together, right?
That's right. I will tell you, nothing falls flatter to an audience than if somebody says, this work seems really hard. It seems really meaningful. It seems like you're doing a lot of stuff. But why are you, what led you into nonprofit work? I cannot begin to tell you the hundreds, maybe thousands of times I've been asked that question. Why did you go from where you were into this and take on these kind of challenges? And so there's my opportunity to share personal things from my life and oftentimes painful things from my life or painful examples of people that I've encountered in the nonprofit world. Here's the thing about where the need for transparency comes in, and it's so vital, both transparency and authenticity. That has to be seen in your purpose statement. And it's not so much that it's written, but you've got to have a good answer for that. And that's got to come from deep within you. There are so many people, I've said this many, many times, coming from a faith background, that the church has become a place for the well rather than a place for the sick. Yep. And we spend so much time worried about, hey, I've got to project this. Hey, man, I'm struggling. Everybody's struggling. And yet we get to church and we get in fellowship and we try to all pretend like we're not struggling. And it becomes superficial. It becomes, you know, anything but authentic and transparent. And so some people get used to that. Hey, I've got this internal pain. I'm going to keep it to myself because I'm scared of what other people will think about me. But what people who think like that don't yet understand is that vulnerability and authenticity, when you lay it all out there for people to see, and they see that you've taken this trauma or this abuse or you've gone through these things and now it's shaped you to take on that challenge, it inspires them, and it gives them a desire, creates a desire within them that pulls them towards what you're doing. Now, you see examples of this all the time. I've seen people who have women who have been just brutally raped and attacked and fight for laws. You know, they're able to get people on their side and help them to understand it from a victim standpoint, or they become a victim's advocate in some way. And so, but if they didn't reveal, if they didn't have the courage to go to court and name their accuser, if they didn't have the courage to get on media and say, I was raped or I've been through this trauma, then they would have no effect whatsoever. And it's no different in the nonprofit world. It doesn't mean that any nonprofit you're serving, you have to identify specifically with that particular cause as it is understanding why you're involving yourself in the lives of other people, because that's what nonprofit work is. It is filling the gaps of our government, which we know are plentiful, but it's done on a relational way where, hey, I am filling this gap and I'm coming in here to meet these societal needs, to implement these societal changes, to rescue people, to love people, to care for people. And that all has to come from somewhere. And the truth of the matter is, not everybody's wired for this kind of work. And I've seen it time and time again, where you have people in the nonprofit world who are there for a job. Mm-hmm. And it's not, does not take me very long, and most people very long, to see the difference between who is here because they are being led there, because they're passionate, because they authentically care, genuinely care, versus people who, hey, I need a job, and this is kind of a holding marker for me, and I'll work here for a year or two till I find something better. And because their heart is not in it.
Right. And let me interrupt you. I mean, you just nailed it, because when you said that not everyone's wired for this kind of work, amen, brother. I mean, listen, there's a lot of people out there that are super passionate, or they want to be passionate. Maybe they haven't been affected by anything traumatic. I mean, life brings all kinds of things to us, but nothing enough for them to want to take on their own cause and a passionate plea. And they do want to help. And that's fine. There's leaders and there's followers. You have to have leaders to have followers and followers to have leaders. But I think some people kind of confuse those things, and particularly now with the pandemic and everyone's wanting to change jobs and change the way they think. I can't tell you how many times I've gone through, I almost reached out to you last week. You know, I'm starting to ask that question. What's my purpose? Why am I here? What exactly am I supposed to do? Please, God, tell me where I'm supposed to, what am I supposed to do? And sometimes it's just working through those things. And sometimes it's meant to be, and sometimes it's not. If you're doing it just for a job, you might as well forget it. I mean, if it turns into a job and it turns into something that you can provide for your family, you could do something you're loving, that's a wonderful thing. I think that's why sometimes, too, we are a celebrity-driven country. We love our celebrities. We hold them way too high. And whenever our celebrities do or say things, hell, they even tell us which way to vote, we listen sometimes. And that's why when a celebrity is making $30 million a year, pretends that they feel for a particular situation, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's an earthquake or a hurricane or anything else in this country, sometimes it's hard to acknowledge that, because have they really been in the situation to understand what this means to the people that it really affects? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I will tell you just a couple of examples from my own life in finding your purpose and connecting with that and being able to communicate that effectively and the difference that it makes. So I think I said maybe on the first show that, you know, I founded Hope Inspired Ministries in Montgomery, Alabama back in 2012, but it was a way to help lift people out of poverty by teaching them skills to be able to transition effectively into the workforce but also help them through barriers. And so it was very relational, but it was designed to help lift people out of poverty and equip them to be self-sufficient and a productive citizen. And so, but nobody was willing to throw money at an idea. So the only money I had was what I had in my RA. And so I said, hey, I'm going to trust God with this. My wife and I cashed in RA, and we put literally all our money on the table and said, you know, here it is. Now, when I talk to most people and I tell them that, they look at me like I have a tree growing out of my forehead. Like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life, is that you would take your life savings and totally invest in something, leaving you vulnerable for the future. And I said, well, I get why you would say that. But when I tell them that my passion and my care and my love for people stuck in poverty is with these barriers push me to do something so radical, guess what? That gives them, that brings a little bit of a wow factor to it. So they're like, oh, wow, this, you're that committed to this? Well, let me hear what's happened. So it there's the connection, because most people that are donors have some savings. They've sometimes been investing for years and years and years, and sometimes have even not joined something or not financially supported something because they said, oh, well, you know, my priority is saving for my wife and myself, or my husband and myself, you know, or doing this for the kids. And none of that is wrong. I want to make sure I'm being clear. That was a decision in which I felt moved to do, but telling that story has been so meaningful and just really opened up a lot of people's eyes to say, well, there's such a need out there that he was willing to literally put all his dollars on the table for it. It makes an impact. Where I'm working now at the Jimmy Hill Mission, great story. Jimmy Hill was the town drunk in Birmingham, going back to, I think, 1944. I hope I have that right. And so his wife was Jessie. Now, remember, this is the 40s, mm-hmm. and he died 6 months after he founded the Jimmy Hill Mission was a soup kitchen. And his wife, who was 27 and pregnant, continued to push the Jimmy Hill Mission forward. So Jimmy Hill dies. It's got his name on it.
It's amazing.
It was his idea. It was his passion. After he became a believer, he said, I'm going to help other men. He was only around for 6 more months and he died. It was Jessie Hill who kept it going from 44 all the way until her death, I believe, and you know, 50 something years later. So what I'm saying is when people say that and they think back to, oh, imagine how difficult it was for a single mother to carry on a men's mission back in the 40s. Wow, that's something different. And so you tell that story, even though that's not my story, I can communicate that to talk about how vital, just from our infancy, it's been about taking people who were vulnerable in society, had extreme barriers in front of them, but coming alongside of them and lifting them up. And so those two stories when I tell, and of course, there's many others that come along, because the beauty of nonprofit world, when you're changing lives, hey, you're getting new stories every week.
Yeah.
And so you're never without a new story or never without something fresh to talk about. But that's what people see. People want to see why you're doing it. Are you changing lives? We're going to talk about that next week. I really kind of want to get into this idea of change, the theory of change, and why all that matters in the nonprofit world. But those stories right there really kind of keep me going, keep me propelled, and it really kind of helps connect others to what we're doing.
He's Michael Coleman. He's the executive director of the Jimmy Hale Mission. This is a show about non-for-profits, and we'll get into other businesses as well, an entrepreneur in his own right. And, of course, he is the executive director of the Jimmy Hale Mission. It's called Mission Minded right here on Tony Curry Radio. You're going to hear it every Wednesday at noon and 7:30 right before Live Wire Wednesday on Wednesday night. So I want to get back into the storytelling thing, because I think it's interesting. I think it's fun. We all love being around great storytellers. You were talking about, from a biblical standpoint, that the Jesus was probably the ultimate storyteller, and that he could tell the known into the unknown and vice versa. But talk about how can you become a better storyteller? Say you are passionate about something. Is it something you can practice? Is it the more you tell a story, the better you get at it? Because I've seen lots of, I find that coaches, great head coaches of football teams, seem to be great storytellers. And a lot of times it's after they coach. But there's nothing better than hearing a great storyteller. People will pay good money to see that, and they will buy into whatever they're trying to sell. In this particular case, a non-for-profit. But just talk about the storytelling part of it again, please.
Yeah. So, you know, the question is, can you become a good storyteller? Well, when I think about when I'm on the receiving end, somebody says, "Hey, Michael, let me share something with you." The thing that jumps out to me is it relevant to my life? And do they tell it in such a way that it almost communicates a responsibility for me? It's relevant, but here's a responsibility for me to get involved, at least from a nonprofit perspective. So let me communicate this way. I can get up in front of an audience and I can give them a ton, slide after slide of poverty statistics. How many people we have in Birmingham who are homeless. I can tell all of that. And those are just numbers. It's when I put a face to those numbers that invokes emotion within them. So there's really two things. Eric Ressler wrote an online article addressing this storytelling aspect. And he says, hey, when you've crafted your purpose, the whys of what you're doing, how you're going to do it with your mission statement, what you're doing, and then your vision statement. Hey, where are we going? Where do we want to go? Now it's all about, you got to turn your, and I've lived this. So now it's all a turn about, hey, this is an idea, this is my vision, this is my purpose. How are we going to get there? And so now I've got to bring people on board. I've got to have a board of directors who believes in it. I've got to have followers, volunteers, staff. And so I've got to be able to begin to paint a picture of what all this looks like. And so he brought up, there's really two key things that I thought were very true. And we've touched on these, but I'll just emphasize them here. One is the logic. And so lots of times I've heard people speak and they're not great storytellers because they're not even great at laying facts out. They do it in such a disjointed way. There's no flow to the presentation. There's no beginning, middle, and end. That's what a story is. You start where you're here, you lead them to the middle. They kind of see where the climax is coming. And then, boom, you hit them with that relevance or that life change at the end. And people get up and they themselves may be a nerdy person who loves facts and figures. But that does not inspire people. That does not change people's perspective. I mean, you can inform them. So you got to get up there and you got to lay it out online and explain to them But here's the thing. I talked about earlier, I mentioned that there's some real danger in that, and it gives people an opportunity when you lay out your vision to begin to poke holes in it. And the number one thing that I see is it's not logical from beginning to end. In other words, the idea may be great, but their plan for how they're going to accomplish what they desire to accomplish doesn't make any sense. It doesn't pass the common sense test, or some pie in the sky that's never going to happen in a million years. So what I would recommend people do is not just practice it, but you have to, and again, more vulnerability is required here. You have to put that in front of people and say, hey, I need you to speak truth into my life. I'm fixing to give this presentation, or I'm going to lay out for you, and I want you to punch holes in it. I want you to tell me what I'm not saying to you that you need to hear. And I did that. And I'm telling you, some of my best friends were brutal. I mean, they tore my stuff apart. But I was like, you're right. I'm not telling you. I'm telling you my plan. It makes sense. But maybe the dollars aren't making sense, or maybe where I'm going to do this doesn't make sense, or maybe. So you have to be able to communicate all of that effectively to people who are going to speak that truth back into you, and not just give you, oh, this sounds great or whatever. Because when you get out there in the public, you have to understand something. There's a sea of dollars out there, and there's a bunch of, for lack of a better term, there's a bunch of sharks out there trying to get their hands on these dollars. Now, we all authentically believe the money should go to us because we believe we're doing great work, and most nonprofits are. But if you can't compel somebody to reach in their pocket and give because they see you're making a difference, then you're in essence dead in the water. The other thing I'll say is not just the lie. So it's got to make sense to you, your appeal, but it's also got to have that emotion. I'm in Rotary Club. I've been in Rotary Club for years, and we have a nonprofit or an organization come and speak to us almost every week. And I've seen some painful presentations of people getting up and they're like, yeah, I'm in charge of this nonprofit and we do this. Yeah. And this is the difference we're making.
Yeah.
But their voice never rises. They don't have any personal stake in it other than that they work there. They don't get excited about it. And so your presentation has to be logical to be a storyteller, and it has to have that emotion or that where you're taking them from where they are all the way up to where you want them to be. And they got to come along for the journey.
Yeah. And I've seen it go the other way too, where they're almost too slick. I mean, you could tell
that's the lack of authenticity.
Yeah, you could tell they've done it a million times, and all it takes is one look at their watch, and I'm like, I'm out. And it's unfortunate because I believe in their purpose, and I believe in their logic, and I know what they're talking about is a good thing. But I also know they have another speech at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and they have to catch a flight. I've seen that too, man.
Sure, absolutely. Well, see, the emotion behind it is intended. So some people say, oh, well, I'll raise my voice and I'll be louder. That's not what I'm referring to. What I'm referring to is when you communicate that you genuinely care about this homeless person and you are really pouring yourself into, there's a warmth that comes across. There's a genuineness that people can connect to. You don't have to state it. It's just people feel it. And so again, that does sometimes, it requires practice, but I'll tell you what I have found for me to be the most effective is that I watch the eyes of the audience. And I can tell when people are connecting with what I'm saying and people are not connected. And so if it's something I'm not connecting with, maybe it challenges them and that's okay. Maybe it's something different they haven't thought about. Maybe they're pondering it. I go back and look at that and say, did I say that right? I have to be truthful how I say it, but did I say it right? Is there a better way I could say it? Did I become disjointed in my story? All those kind of things. But I think if you know your why and it's connected personally and you can communicate that both logically, like from a beginning, middle, and end, you create a warmth and you're telling the story like, this is real. This is authentic. This is how this man or woman really feels about this. He's not, like you said, trying to sell me a used Pontiac. Then we've got some, that is at least worth my time to listen.
Yeah.
And then what I do is I trust, of course, I come from a faith background. I trust God's working through that. and ultimately affects hearts and minds to want to know more, get involved, volunteer, donate, whatever it is. And so I believe that very strongly, and that's the effect that I've seen.
Michael.
However, I also understand I can sabotage that if I don't bring these elements to the table.
Hey, Michael, fantastic show again today. Looking forward to getting into what we're going to talk about next week right here on Mission Minded. As always, great stuff. And if anyone's wanting to help out, they can certainly go to the jimmyhellmission.org and help out there. You're doing wonderful work. We greatly appreciate your Mission Minded. We'll do it again next week. Okay, brother?
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.